Sorry, kids. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning. Galatians chapter 6 is we continue coming to the end of this letter written by the apostle to the churches of that area known as Galatia. And we're going to pick up here at verse 6, Galatians 6 and verse 6. But before we read the scriptures tonight, let's pray together as we come to the Word of God tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth and teach us. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we have sinned against you and where we have fallen short. Lord, when we've been overtaken in a fault, whatever it may be, we pray for your help and your mercy. Help us to love you and to love one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens, Lord, to carry the load for each other and help each other. Help us to bear our own burden, Lord, in the tasks, the service that you've called us to. Help us to be faithful servants doing the work that you've called us to by the power of your Spirit. Please help me tonight to preach your word by the power of your Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be the follower of Jesus that you'd have me to be, and help all of us, Lord, to walk with you and continue in your word. And we pray for your help and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to learn about keeping heart in doing good. Galatians 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the first thing we notice tonight in verse 6 is that there ought to be a sharing from those who are taught to those who teach. He says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So those who are taught are to communicate to those who teach. What does that mean? The word communicate means to share. It means to distribute. It's used in Romans chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. Romans 15, 26 and 27, it says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and of Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. And so there's a picture here that there are going to be those who are going to be teaching, who are going to be instructing, and they are giving spiritual things, and it's good for those who are receiving that to help them. In other words, if you preach the gospel, it's here to live of the gospel. And we see that principle taught in the scriptures, and we ought to support them who are giving their lives to the gospel ministry. Now, that might be helping your pastors, or it may be supporting missionaries or pastors in other places and other churches, but it's helping those who have given their life to the gospel ministry to communicate to them. And notice, it's not just a financial thing. It's not just supporting financially, but he says in all good things. And so there ought to be this, not just a financial help, but there ought to be a spiritual help. That when somebody's teaching you, that you don't just take in and take it in and receive, but you give back. You give back spiritual things. You give back good things. You give back in all things. So that would be spiritual things. It would be physical things. It would be material things, financial things. But there ought to be not just a taking, but there ought to be a giving back as well. Right? So we... You know, God doesn't want any of us to be like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead because nothing flows out of it. It only has something flowing into it, and it goes nowhere from there. But God has called us, you remember the song, to be a channel of blessing. So what flows into us flows out of us. And not just to someone on down the line, but we ought to love and support. I thank God for the men who have been teachers in my life. And I hope there have been times when I've been able to give back to them, to encourage them and love them and support them. And I think about the men who came before me here at Calvary. When I came here years ago, I told you, and I still stand by it, other men have labored and I've entered into their labors. Work has been done, and you get to continue on in that work. And so we continue in it and we give back. So that contribution, that communication, that sharing that is to be given. We see that same principle in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 20. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 20. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, that's our word, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So when Paul writes to the church of Philippi, he says, listen, when I first brought the gospel to you and I left, nobody helped me out except for you guys. None of the other churches were helping me, but you did. And I praise God for you. And it wasn't because I wanted something, but I wanted fruit to your account. What's that mean? Well, you guys get this, right? You got the reports on the wall around the map out there. And if you read those reports, you can see the things that God is doing through those missionaries. And because we support them prayerfully and financially, that's fruit to our account because we've had a help in that. Everybody with me right now? Okay, and so spiritual fruit that others are able to accomplish because you communicate with them in giving and receiving, that's fruit to our account. And that's what Paul said, I wanted that for you. Not because I wanted something, but because I wanted fruit for your account. I wanted you to be blessed by it. And he says, and I have everything I need because I received the things that you sent through Epaphroditus. Not only that, he says, but it was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Not only did what you give help me, and not only did what you give put fruit on your account, but more importantly than all of that, everything you gave was a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. And that's where it's at. So when you support your pastors, and when you give to missionaries, and when you help those who are giving their lives to preaching the gospel, it's glorifying to God. And that ought to always be our goal in everything, right? So let him that is taught in the word communicate or share with him that teaches in every good thing. All right? So there's a sharing that he talks about here at the end of the letter that he admonishes them in. And then he talks to them not only about sharing, but he talks to them about sowing. Look at verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Anybody feel like that's an understatement? Have you ever heard somebody mock God? I've been mocked because of my belief in God. I've been mocked because of things I believe about the Bible. Not only that, but I've had people mock God to my face. Now, they might feel like they've accomplished something in mocking God, but I promise you, God is not mocked. Why? Because you reap what you sow. Now, they might rebel against God. They might mock God. They might ridicule the name of our Savior Jesus, but he's not mocked because he's the one who doles out the judgment at the end. So do we get satisfaction in those who sow to the flesh and reap corruption? No. We want them to repent and believe in the Lord and sow in the Spirit so that they can reap life everlasting. Whatever man sows, he reaps. For whatsoever man soweth, he that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the picture is this. When you sow to the flesh, when you act in the flesh, when you do things in accordance to the desires of the flesh, you're going to get a crop from that. It's going to bring a harvest, but that harvest is going to be corruption. It's going to be decay. It's ultimately going to be death, because sin, when it is finished, always brings forth death, right? Every man is tried. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So we have that understanding that it brings death. But he gives us this picture of corruption. That's decay. That's rotting. Right? All right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, anybody ever drink spoiled milk on accident? I mean, nobody did it on purpose, but yeah, you know when it's bad, right? We were talking about spoiled stuff the other day, talking about how back in the day, you know, our grannies, our grandmas, and our great-grandmas sometimes, you know, they didn't think about things like refrigeration. You cook it, you leave it out. My mom was talking about how my grandma, great-grandma, when they cooked a meal and there was leftovers, they just took the tablecloth and folded it over it, and it was there. But y'all remember that? I don't. I don't remember that. Now it's you get it in the fridge. Why? Because we don't want salmonella, right? We don't want food poisoning, right? Some things will trick you, though. Somebody said the other day, pork lies, right? Have any of you ever had bad sausage? Well, you don't know it when you eat it, but you know it later, right? Listen, it smells the same. Nobody's with me right now. Y'all just don't want to think about it or what? I don't know. Pork will lie to you. It'll smell the same whether it's spoiled or not, but a lot of things aren't that way. Milk, when it's bad, it's bad. Now, I'm just going to say this. We like to cook with buttermilk, but I don't drink buttermilk because it always smells bad. Check the buttermilk. You can't tell. It was spoiled when you bought it. It's good stuff. Amen. What's the point? The point is, when you sow to the flesh, it reaps corruption. It reaps decay. I remember back when I worked for my dad at the cabinet shop, the guys who worked and drove the delivery truck, they didn't know what a trash can was. The floorboard is where everything went. I got in the truck to drive it one time, and it stunk so bad I couldn't take it anymore, so I'm just shoveling trash out at the gas station trying to, and I grabbed something, and my hand went into something. I don't know what it was originally, but it had about a half inch of green fur covering it. I don't know what it had started out as, but it was one of the grossest things that's ever. Ugh. That's the picture. That's the picture. That's what we get when we sow to the flesh. We get corruption. We get decay. We get ugh. Right? But we know that. And we know what the scripture says. And yet every day we make wrong choices and we do things in accordance to the flesh, knowing what it's going to happen, right? I mean, you've heard the old joke that you sow your wild oats and then you pray for a crop failure. Well, it doesn't work that way because God's not going to be mocked. So we got to be careful what we're sowing to. But then he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What does that mean? Does that mean that when you do things in the Spirit, that because you do those things in the Spirit, you're going to gain eternal life? No. No, it's you don't get eternal life by what you do. When we're talking about living in the Spirit, that's evidence of our salvation, right? It's not a condition of our salvation. It's an evidence of our salvation. And when you live in the Spirit, it brings the fruits and the joy of everlasting life. You get to live out the life that God has given you by faith. And isn't it great joy when you walk in the Spirit? See, most of you have been alive long enough to know what it's like when you live in the flesh and you live in the misery of the results of living in the flesh. And some of you have been around long enough to have tried both. And there's no comparison. There's no comparison to the corruption that comes from walking in the flesh to the joy and life that comes from walking in the Spirit. And can I say this? Not only your life, but when you walk in the Spirit, you can have an impact on other people coming to Christ and them having life everlasting because you've sown in the Spirit. The scriptures tell us that they that sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And when we go and sow in the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, we get to reap life everlasting. So sow in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and kill, mortify your flesh day by day. Look at verse 9. We see about sharing, we see about sowing, and now we see about simply doing good. Don't stop doing good. Let us not be weary in well-doing,
For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart in doing good. Don't lose heart in doing good. Why? Because when the season's right, you'll reap that life everlasting. You'll reap that fruit of the Spirit if we don't quit. Now, I've told you guys before that there are going to be times in your life as a Christian that you get tired. There's going to be times that you lose heart. There's going to be times that you want to quit. And Paul is admonishing these churches of Galatia, saying, don't quit. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. Because there is a reward for those who are faithful to Jesus. Life everlasting is a free gift, but there's a reward to faithful service. And every one of you that's born again, deep down in your heart of hearts, you have the desire to hear Jesus say, well done. We want to hear him say, well done. And I know some of you are like, he'll never say that to me. But he can, and he will, if you'll stay faithful to him. Don't quit. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be sinless. But you can keep on keeping on. You can keep trusting in him. You can keep dying to yourself. You can keep putting on the things that are right with God and walk in the Spirit and bear fruit for his glory. Don't faint. It's the same root as the word for weary. They come from the same word. This idea of fainting, this idea of being weary, come from the same thing. But this idea of not fainting, it has the idea of relaxing. Don't relax. Don't give up. Don't slack off. You got to keep pressing on. You got to keep moving forward in the faith. Check out 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We faint not. Why? Even though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. Why? Because we recognize that what we have going on in this life, no matter how bad it is a light affliction compared to the glory that he has in store for those that believe God. Nothing's to compare for what he has in store for those who trust in him. So we shouldn't faint. We shouldn't quit. We should keep on. We should keep on. I know I shared the story before, but I remember hearing this in a message by R.B. Ouellette years ago, and man, it stuck with me. He's telling about this couple in a church years ago, and they were outside, and their little daughter, I think she was around 4 years old, was riding up and down the sidewalk in front of a picket fence, and as she was going, she fell onto the fence, and it cut her pretty bad. And they didn't know how bad she was hurt. There was a hospital about a block away. And so the little girl fell on the fence, and the dad scooped her up, and blood's going everywhere. And when the mom sees it, she just faints in the yard. So there's the man standing there holding his little girl, and his wife's fainted in the yard. And you know, what's he to do? So he just takes off running to the hospital, and he yells at his wife, "You get up! This is no time to faint!" The little girl was okay, by the way. It wasn't nearly as bad as it looked, which is the way it is sometimes. But man, that stuck with me. Sometimes Christians are just laying down, and listen, this is no time to faint. This is no time to lay down. This is no time to quit. This is no time to slack off. This is no time to relax. We may be blessed in America and we may have some freedoms here, but it doesn't matter where you are in the world. While you have time, it's time to do good for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to do the work that he's called us to do. That's what he says next. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, check this out. When you study these words out in this idea of opportunity, it doesn't mean, listen to me, it does not mean an occasional moment. Like, that's the way we think about opportunities. You think about many different opportunities that come. That's not what this word means. It's singular, and it's opportunity, and it means a set or proper time. What's that mean? So when Paul says, as you have opportunity, do good, he doesn't mean as the different moments of time come along, do good. It means a set, proper time. What is that? That is your life. Your opportunity is your life from the moment you trusted Christ till the day you close your eyes in death. That is your opportunity. Is everybody with me right now? You have an opportunity. You have one opportunity to live your life for Christ. You have one opportunity to do good. You have one opportunity, and your opportunity is different than mine. Every person in this room has a different opportunity, but it began the moment you were born again, and it ends the moment you see Jesus' face, when either he comes again or he takes you home in death. And Paul's saying, as you have your opportunity, as you have your set time, do good. Who should we do good to? Anybody see it? Paul. He does say especially those who are of the household of faith, but do good to all. Amen. Do good to everyone, but especially those who are of the household of faith. This verse indicates that you have a set time to do good, a set time to sow in the Spirit. So do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 and following. Romans 12, verse 9. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I realize that passage there in Romans 12, it's a lot like the Proverbs. There's just one truth after another, just rapid fire. But here's the heart of it. Do good to everyone. To your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially, but also to everyone else. Even those who hate you. That's the mark of a Christian. That's a mark of a Christ-like love. If you love those that love you, what? Everybody does that. But when you love those that hate you, that's Christ's likeness. When you're good to those that are evil to you, that's Christ's likeness. When you bless those that curse you, that's Christ's likeness. That's the kind of love that Christ has had for us. And it's the kind of love that we must have for others. It's the kind of love that we've got to have for others. Share. Be willing to give to those, especially to those who give you the Word of God, and give the Word of God to others. Sow. Everything that we do every day is sowing, either to the flesh or to the Spirit. Let's be careful to make sure we're sowing to the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're making decisions in the Spirit. We're doing the things that God is leading us to do. We're being obedient to the commands of Christ by the power of His Spirit. Sow to the Spirit and don't stop doing good. It's so tiring sometimes to try to live the Christian life. It's so hard sometimes. You get discouraged. You get depressed. You want to quit. But Paul says, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. But keep following Jesus, because He's promised a great reward in spiritual fruit. Tonight I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm going to ask all of you to stand with me. Will you pray with me while they come? Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless your word in spite of me tonight. I pray that you would help each one of us to mortify our members on the earth, Lord, that we would die to ourselves, that we would see our flesh crucified, that we would walk in newness of life, that we would put on the new man, that we would be renewed by your Spirit in the inner man. And I just pray that you would help us. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our heart. If anyone here needs to make any decisions for Christ tonight, we pray your will be done, your Spirit would work, and you would help us to love you. You'd help us to walk with you. Forgive our sins and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 514.
Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight. Will you respond in obedience to faith and faith?